things. So.
Is the class always held in this room?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Welcome to the Clean Eating Challenge. My name is Natasha, and I'm really excited to have you guys here. And this is, I think, my 7th or 8th time.
God, don't even
say I know. It's crazy.
You guys have done it that many times?
No, I missed once, I think.
Yeah, I think Chris missed once, but she's been here for the other ones. So
I'm hoping this time something's going to click.
Well, it is. It's
sorry,
like
I'm just frustrated
with yourself. It's like, how do you bring this into your everyday life? And like the whole thing that we're doing is really based on kind of the Whole 30 or a paleo style lifestyle.
And creating a new way of eating.
And creating a new way of eating.
New habit, rather.
New habits. Yeah. But with the Whole 30 itself, it's like very limited in a lot of things. And the goal is not to be this limited for the rest of your life, but it's figuring out those things for yourself mm-hmm. that work and don't work. So a few things just about me. I have been in like, I started out with yoga about 2000, and I'm a yoga instructor, and then I started studying Ayurveda, which is the sister science of yoga, and then I just started getting into like diet and lifestyle and all these things. I'm not a registered nutrition or dietitian
or something, yeah. Whatever.
So I don't have that, but this is like...
It's probably a good thing you don't, because I think that when you get trained that way, you become extremely conventional about how you handle food.
Yes, so. Exactly. I
Can
completely
you see
agree.
Okay,
oh, I'm fine. I'm just going to move around.
Okay.
You don't worry about me. I'm not torturing myself. I will get up periodically.
And take care of yourself.
I'll just
good.
Walk and go to the bathroom.
It's just at the end of the hall right there. And
I will take a trip there too.
Nice. Perfect. So this is something that I have been extremely passionate about, and it kind of is what I do with all my free time is I read and study and it's watch videos and movies and I don't know, everything. So but for me, you know, I don't prescribe to there's one diet for everyone. Mm-hmm. I really think that it's an individual thing, and part of this whole process is like figuring out again what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And have you guys ever, well, I know the two of you guys have done this with me before, but have you ever done any sort of elimination diet or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I have some food allergies as well, or
okay.
intolerances, I should say.
Okay.
Nothing allergic, but no, I've actually been studying eating and food for a long time.
Okay.
My husband and I started Whole Grocer, and Bob, and we sold it in 2010. And he and I just got an incredible education. And I really, starting in the 90s, I started with the Atkins diet at one point, and I discovered that I actually felt really good on it, except that it was totally unsustainable,
mm-hmm.
and that I started to feel nauseous because I wasn't getting enough salad. You know, the one cup a day or whatever it was just not enough.
And yeah.
So the Whole 30, I really do like their plan. I've had a lot of background in different eating methods, and because I also have done a lot of eating too, like eat right for your type, do this, do that, and the body ecology diet. I'm sure you've read that one. That kind of condenses mm-hmm. everything together, all these different kind of diet plans and the benefits. And the 80-20 and the anyway. So I've accumulated quite a bit of knowledge about eating, and I know what works for me.
Okay.
And. And so I definitely need some help with
accountability.
Well, I don't know about that because I don't ever worry about accountability with anybody. But no, I do. But I need to just get on a good plan. You know. So.
Okay.
My body's ready for it.
So when So you're just looking for like a plan to
I understand try creating our own plans, I guess, to.
Well, there's two levels. So there one level is like the kind of more strict. It's like really based on the Whole 30. So it's both of them are really focused on whole foods, you know, no processed foods, nothing like really packaged. But the stricter one has like no sugar in treats, they call them, which is recreating things such as desserts, pancakes, muffins with approved ingredients as well. And part of that is like the mindset of it, of like, you know, like if you're reaching for, you know, a muffin or a cookie or something, even if it's with improved ingredients, it's like your mind is still like, oh, I want that cookie because of what, you know, like, especially if it's like an emotional thing that you're reaching for it. And so it's like trying to break that for 30 days. And then, you know, afterwards, it's not that, you know, yeah, there's, you could definitely decide to make, you know, treats with better ingredients for sure. But like giving yourself that space and that time, no alcohol, no, what else is the no on
sugar.
That? No, well, no sugar, but no grains, no grains, no legumes.
Processed.
No processed.
I have a question about legumes. Are peas included in legumes or not?
So they do not include peas because, well, it's more about like the green beans because there's more of the pod than there is like just the bean itself.
Okay.
But
as far as the gut reaction, you know, when you have, you can get leaky gut, mm-hmm. the beans, legumes.
Can cause that. So, yeah. So, like, if you know that you're dealing with leaky gut, and then, yeah, cut them out. Like,
I don't know.
Okay.
I've had candida in the past. Every time I get tested, it says, you had it in the past. I keep wondering when that goes.
When was that?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I have no idea right now. I've been eating terribly for the last few months. And I was eating terribly before that too, actually.
I like how you said that. It's very accurate. Most of
my
us
husband
probably.
Used to help me to eat well. We would have good dinners each night, mm-hmm. most nights, unless I dragged him out to a bar, which then we would eat crap food. But you know, I've not been cooking and preparing food for myself the way I need to be.
Yeah.
I have a limited repertoire of what I actually like to do, which is basically grill.
Yeah, and it's definitely, you know, like this requires food prep, and it requires time and, you know, spending some time in the kitchen and hopefully creating new habits for yourself, learning some new things.
I'm hoping I'm gonna like being in the kitchen finally.
Well, maybe if we cook some meals together, you'll like it. Or maybe we'll just kill each other. That might happen too. But
That's only on a road trip.
But yeah, no dairy.
No
fruit juice. No soy. So soy sauce, miso, tofu. No MSG. Iodized table salt is allowed. Just because it's like in so many different things, especially if you go out at all. But also when you're looking at your labels, making sure there's no, it doesn't just say spices on it, because that can include MSG in there. Also things that say natural flavor, yeast extract, looking at those things. So the more lenient one, you can do some soaked and sprouted legumes or grains. You can not, or it's no white sugar still, no gluten, but you could do goat and sheep cheese, no cow dairy, and then 2 alcohol drinks a week. So you get to choose like which of those 2 that you want to do. And I'll send out an email that has like a link on my website to like all of these rules written down. So if you don't have to remember all of that right now.
I try to stay away from grains and legumes and beans as it is, and mm-hmm. dairy. Now, then I also, you know, don't stay away from them. But I can do that, and I so probably will do the stricter version.
Okay.
I think. I have friends in town, so the alcohol part's difficult because they're big partiers. So I may modify the diet to include drinking more than the 2 drinks a week. But they're only here for a few weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So again, this is all like, you know, whatever you're doing, you get what you put into it. And so the stricter that you are, you usually have.
If I can enjoy really well with the eating and food, then, you know, I'll be fine with the alcohol.
Okay. Yeah. So, so just knowing that, like, that is something that affects you quite a bit and how you feel. And
it's horrible for you, I know that.
Yep.
I feel so much better when I just don't feel like it. A lot of times I'm like, don't want to drink anything. You know, my husband always had a cocktail or two each night, or a glass of wine or something like that. And I tend to be more sporadic about it, you know. But my friends who are in town right now,
they drink a lot.
Insane partiers.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just in-your-face partying.
And there's also on the website, there's like a call to listen to that's like kind of a before you start call that like talks about cleaning out your pantry a little bit and like things that are allowed and not allowed.
Okay.
So that's something that's good to listen to. And then there's a point sheet that we do every week. And so I'll send you that. And basically it's just like a spreadsheet and you go in there to track like what you're eating for all of your meals and snacks and everything, and then you would add in any points if you are partaking in things that are not on the list of things.
Make bananas and the ice cream and get in trouble for you.
So is the owner
of the ice cream store.
on your phone? Like fill in that thing?
So I send an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
So if you have a way to do that on your phone. Okay.
Is it convertible in any way?
Well, Mac can open up.
It can open that? Because
yeah.
I don't have Excel. I have
numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the thing about Mac is that you can open up.
Well, I have an older version, and I've been having a lot of trouble.
You've been having troubles?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Try maybe updating it or something because, but like I have a Mac too, and I don't have Excel.
You don't? Okay.
But I export it to Excel for people who have a PC so
yeah,
that.
Let's see. I'll just see if it works.
Yep. Yeah.
Excel is part of the Microsoft Word
Office.
Package, right?
Mm-hmm.
Office. Yeah,
yep.
I got that on my Mac.
Okay.
So.
And there's also like you can get a program called it's like Free Word or Libre Word or something like that, and it's it's free, and you can open up all of the Office
stuff
with that too.
Yeah.
I know, it's so weird that this door keeps opening up. Maybe try pushing it.
Yeah,
like, I don't think you're pushing it hard. There you go. All right. So I kind of would love to hear from everybody else as well what their reasons is from.
I used to hate speaking in class. I never did until I was in grad school. One of my professors forced me to do it, and ever since then, I'm really comfortable with it, which is also really bad.
But I just want to hear what people are hoping to get out of this, why they're here, and what the main thing that they would like to focus on, because it might not be the same thing for everybody, and that's fine. So we'll start with Chris.
Oh. My name is Chris, and you've kind of figured out I have done this a few times. Every time I do it, I hope that something clicks and I can stay on the path of what is right for me and what I'm eating. And I do really well when I don't eat the sugar and the gluten, and I feel better, and I love how I feel, and I perform better, and I like how clothes fit better, and I do really well for the month, and then I hang in there for another month, maybe sometimes 6 weeks, depending on when it was. But like this last time, it was just like I was possessed again, and the frickin' ice cream just, there was days I just felt like I couldn't stop. And so of course I beat up myself. So what I am looking for in this class is I do much better and I'm accountable to somebody else of them taking a look at what I'm eating and knowing that I can't have any ice cream because it's not part of the plan that I'm on, and I will survive without it, and I need to find other ways to fulfill that need of why I'm wanting the ice cream in the first place and what it is that causes me to be possessed.
That's a good word for it.
Seriously, it's what it's like sometimes. It's like this internal demon, and but it's just so just available in there and there. But I wonder if it would be the same if I worked, like, I love baked goods and cookies, especially from Persephone.
Okay.
And if I worked there, would I have the same problem? Or if that was my business, every time I went through the kitchen, would I be grabbing a freshly baked cookie? And I don't know. I can't answer that, but it's just, and I've always said, if I truly want to get rid of the weight permanently, I probably have to get rid of, do something different than the store. But seeing as I don't know what that is, it's not like I'm stuck. I enjoy it still. It's good money. It allows me to travel and play and ski and just, and I'm sure I would have found something else to replace ice cream with the need of needing something. All right, that was enough of me rambling. Amanda.
Okay. Let's see here. I just found out, well, I saw the class at Medicine Wheel about a month ago, I think, and I was interested, but then I just talked to these guys, and they're like, you should come, and I actually just did...
she actually screamed out the window for a call.
I did 6 months of health coaching with Cynthia Clausen, and okay. That just ended about 3 weeks ago,
okay.
And I lost 21 pounds, and I feel pretty great. I had to go on the complete elimination diet, but it took the whole entire 6 months. Like, I every week talked to her and devoted my entire life basically to it, and we dealt with a lot of the emotional stuff, but it's continuous. It keeps coming up, things come up, and I was just in Puerto Vallarta for 8 days, and I kind of feel a little crappy coming back because I ate things traveling that I wouldn't normally eat. Mm-hmm. I had the Puerto Vallarta bug, you know, just from drinking the water or whatever, you know, like just being in Mexico, it always makes my stomach feels like crap. But so I'm incredibly sensitive. I probably have some autoimmune that I'm dealing with. I just saw a specialist in Salt Lake.
Okay.
And she, you know, like it's night and day from where I was, you know, 8 months ago and where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to stay on that trajectory. So my goal is just to have more information. I started a cleanse this morning, but I mean, I think I can probably do them both because it's very similar. It's the conscious cleanse. I don't know if you've heard of it, but two awesome girls out of Boulder that are doing a great thing. And I did it with Cynthia
okay.
The last like 3 weeks of our leg and continued on until I went to vacation.
Okay.
So I'm happy to be here with these beautiful ladies and have somebody to be accountable to and have people that like-minded that want to stay healthy and do good things and make healthy treats instead of bad treats and drink sparkling water instead of wine, which is really hard for us.
Yes. did you guys do any sort of autoimmune protocol with?
Yeah, so the first like 6 weeks I started with taking out sugar. Like I went from a high impact sugar diet, which I wasn't really on. It was more of like a medium, a little high, and went down to a low impact sugar diet. continued that almost through the entire thing. The only sugars that I'm having really are sometimes I have honey, but mostly I use stevia. And then I took out all gluten, all dairy, all eggs, alcohol for quite a while until I went on vacation.
What
about
nightshades?
Nightshades, yeah, I did take those out. But only at the very end with the conscious cleanse, and that was very helpful. I actually just went to the store today and was like, I better not buy those because it does affect me. Pretty much everything that people are allergic to, and I can't have any soy, like I can't have any flax, I can have any version of soy because I have some hormone stuff that it would cause more lesions in my brain. So so I had to be really careful with a lot of things. Yeah. But yeah, so that protocol is similar.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I add a couple things that I didn't because I was blabbering? My goal is to lose weight too. I've already taken off about 25 pounds from my highest weight, which was a few years ago. And it spiked again, then it came down again, and it's been pretty consistent. But I still want to take off another 15 pounds because you can't tell right now because of my coat. But this is basically what my belly looks like. It's the down coat. And so I just gain all my weight there, and it's totally unhealthy. I'm 52, and I read somewhere that if whatever you're at when you're 50, that's what you're going to be like for the rest of your life. And I was like... And I was like, oh, my God. So anyway, so I've been working on it. And so I do want to take some weight off, too. I also do get body pain. There's inflammation in my family as an issue. And I want to cut that down as well. So it's just I don't feel healthy right now based on what I know I could feel like. From doing other eating plans and cleanses and juice fasting and stuff like that. So anyway, so those are my goals for this class. Just take some weight off, feel healthier, really cut out the sugar. I'd like to cut out everything, all that stuff, which I feel really ready to do it.
Okay.
You know, I'm in a good place for that. I was going to say also for Chris, that if you just develop a lactose intolerance or a milk protein intolerance, you'll be fine. I eat much less ice cream because I have that now. Because anyway.
Your carrot top is getting wet.
My carrot top's getting wet? Is it raining?
Yes. Do you not hear it?
I do hear it, but it doesn't really look like it's raining.
It's just raining like on top of your car. It's fine.
Just on top of my carrot top?
Yeah.
Do you allow dogs in here?
Oh boy.
No, there's a sign.
It's okay. Really? It says no pets?
Yes.
Okay. There's always a sign somewhere. He's fine. He'll be absolutely fine.
I'm Joanna, and I'm back for I don't know how many of these. I cannot even remember, but enough because I'm back because I feel really good when I do a cleanse and cut out the sugar and the booze. The rest of it, I never really notice that anything else is really changing how I feel. It's just the sugars that seem to cause such inflammation in my joints, and when I drink, I want sugar, and I eat too much when I drink, and it's just this vicious cycle. So I was training for a big bike thing this spring, and it was amazing. It went great. Thank you. But I read this book called This Naked Mind, Control Alcohol. And it's basically just brainwashing yourself to not want booze, which...
Is it working?
It totally worked. I only drank 2 beers in April. And then, you know, I've drank a little bit. I've had some drinks lately, so I think I just need to, like, read it again.
But you were so good when you came down to see me.
Yeah.
You were awesome.
No, I know. That was in April.
What was it called again?
This Naked Mind,
Control Alcohol. And I think she named it that because she wants to do other Naked Mind books about brainwashing yourself off of other crap. But that's what it's called. And it's got a green cover, and it was really good. I mean, it talked about all the things that alcohol does bad for you and why people glorify it and the fact that you don't need it in your life. And it was really helpful. Maybe I hope sugar is her next one.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Or actually, dairy would be good, too.
But what do I want out of this class? Why am I here? What do I want to focus on? I really need to get into a healthy routine. I was super impressed with myself that I acted like a grown-up, and I went to the same exercise classes every week for all winter. And it was really great. But now I'm done with my goal, and so my routine has stopped, and I need another routine. I've got to create a healthy routine. Yeah. So I know that my job's too stressful. I was biking through the desert and I was like, well, I'm going to give it another year. And if my job is still too stressful, then I'm going to have to find another job. But I am really committed to giving it another year because I just hired an amazing person to back me up and be my second. And I really believe that she's going to be able to help take some of that pressure off.
Yay.
So
it's going to be great.
So I'm excited about that. And as far as the food itself, I need to get back in the rhythm of preparing food and going to the grocery store and cooking healthy meals. I've just been so frantic because I've been shorthanded at work for 2 months that I've slipped in that department, and all of my alcohol calories went to ice cream. So there you go.
You guys make me happy. I don't like ice cream. Very rarely.
That's definitely probably my fault. I think I'm dragging her to. I discovered these milkshakes that I would never touch before.
La 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 la.
But you can make a delicious milkshake with like fresh almond milk, right?
So on if you're doing the more strict level, no.
You don't do almond milk or like dates.
You're not recreating treats with approved items.
I see what you're saying.
So on the less strict level, you can do some things like that as long as it's an improved item. But again, it's like when you start, so you're supposed to think about this 30 days of like this being really strict. This is not what you're going to do for the rest of your year or the life. It's like this 30 days to reset your mind and your habits. And I love this quote by Albert Einstein that we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking that we use to create them. And so you're like, oh, I can just make this milkshake with healthier ingredients or whatever. But again, it's like your mind is like, oh, I get a milkshake. Or, you know, why do I want that milkshake right now? Like, what else can I be doing? Or am I, because a lot of times, especially with like sugar and alcohol and things, there's like an emotional connection to it too. Or maybe it's like who we're with in the moment. Maybe it's a time of day. Maybe it's what's going on in your life, like how stressed you are. Maybe it's also just the smell of it. Like the sense of smell is one of the most powerful senses because it's directly connected to your limbic brain, which is your emotional brain.
But see, I think that's some of my problem is because I can't smell the ice cream. You know, I don't smell it. It's not like that aroma of fresh baked bread or pastry. So that's my theory, and why I don't get tired of it is because I'm not smelling it.
Why can't you smell it? Do you have a smell?
No, because it's frozen.
But as soon as I walk into an ice cream store, I smell it.
I can smell it.
And so I wonder if it's like for you that you're around it so much that you no longer like walk in there and just think like, oh, this smells really good, but you're just like, okay, I'm at work. But you also have like these other associations with it. Yeah. I don't, you know,
it'd
be something to kind of think about.
You could seriously mindful me and walk me down the streets of town and I could tell you if we were walking past Haagen-Dazs. Like, I could be 20 feet away and be like, Haagen-Dazs.
That's probably my waffle cones that we make fresh. Anyway, so I kind of, I'm not agreeing with you on that.
You're not agreeing, or you,
I know smell is supposedly like one of the strongest sense in bringing back memories,
mm-hmm.
which I do agree with that, but I guess because people ask me, why aren't you tired of ice cream, and I said, well, I don't, typically eat it. Like, if we were to go out and there's ice cream on the menu for dessert, I would never order it.
Mm-hmm.
If I have friends and we're out and we go into the store, I may get a cup or a cone. But I don't know. All right, continue. Sorry.
Well, and I wonder if, you know, again, like, even though you say, like, you're not smelling it because it's frozen, but when you're at a restaurant, you're not in an ice cream shop, and you're not whatever, and maybe it's not just the ice cream, maybe it is the waffle cone or something, yeah. But, like, that could be triggering something.
This is something I've been thinking about lately. Do you think that we could become addicted to the self-deprecation, like the beating ourselves up, as that's like
totally
seemed like it was a really big part of when I stopped, like, started working on not beating myself up every time I made a mistake, that mm-hmm. things got a little bit easier, and I was like, was I like kind of needing that self-deprecation, like was I thriving in some way on that, like it seemed like really
so whatever the like whatever we do, whatever habits we have, whatever patterns we have, there is a reward that we're getting from it. There's a reason why we keep doing it. And when you say, like, you know, this self-deprecation, like, what reward could I be getting that? And that's, like, a really good question to, like, start to think about and maybe journal about for yourself. Like, what benefit do I get out of that? You know, somebody who is really sick, and you think, well, what benefits do they have of being sick? Well, maybe they're able to get out of things that they don't want to do. Or maybe they have people who are willing to come and do things for them that they don't want to ask other people for. But now people are just like, oh, offering, or, you know, whatever. So it's like, okay, why is this, like, such a challenge for me? Why do I keep getting stuck in this area? And
what happened in our childhoods, maybe as well.
It could have something maybe to do with it.
Criticism,
yeah. I think in childhood, I think if you're used to it, that's kind of where I was getting at with it. Is that if you're used to being treated that way, and there's nobody in your life treating you that way, then what are the odds that you're going to start doing that to replace what you're used to?
Totally. Yeah. There's a really good book. It's called The Great Leap, I believe, by Gay Hendricks. And he talks about just that we have kind of like this, like, or it's called The Big Leap, sorry. The Big Leap. Conquer your hidden fear and take your life to the next level. But that you just have, like, that you have this, like, sort of area that you're comfortable with, like, this is my you know, what I feel comfortable with, and then all of a sudden like things might start to come into your life, or things might to change where you like, oh my gosh, wow, no, this is too much, and then you kind of hold yourself back and you self-sabotage yourself, right? Yeah. And
not
then
good enough for this.
And so you start to be like, okay, no, and then you start to cause these problems, or you start to, you know, treat yourself badly, or you know, and a lot of this is all subconscious. So with food, I mean, some of this is also what we grew up with, like, you know, a lot of times, especially treats or sweets and things, were given, you know, if we were good, if we finished our dinner. Not everybody was raised this way, but I definitely was, where it was like, yeah, we got dessert if we ate our dinner. If we were good, you know, that was kind of like a little bribe thing, like, be good and then you can have this or that.
It's the same thing as celebrating.
Yeah, no. It's celebrating.
Hey, I got a new job promotion. Let's go out.
Yeah.
Hey, it's my birthday. Let's go out.
Right.
Let's have salad.
Let's have cake, and now we're drinking alcohol. And but there is something about sweetness that is, like, you know, if we don't have sweetness in our life, there's this feeling of the opposite of that, which is bitter, or, like, you know, really astringent or dry. So sweetness is important, but how can you get sweetness in your life that's maybe not just from food?
Right.
How can you be sweet or kind and loving towards yourself? What other self-care things does your body want or need? You know, getting outside and being in the sunshine is so important. Being in nature, taking a bath, saying no to things that you really don't want to do, spending time with friends, loved ones, physical touch with people is important. And there is a practice in Ayurveda which is called self-massage, where you're massaging your body with oil before you would take a shower. And it sounds really weird, but it's like the word for oil in Sanskrit, which is the ancient language that a lot of this was written in, is sneha, and the word for love is also sneha. So it's this idea that you're rubbing love onto yourself, and you're doing it to yourself, so you don't need anybody else to do that for you. While I love going and getting massages, it's not something that I can do, you know, frequently. So this is something that I can do for myself on a daily basis. And it's very calming for the nervous system. There's different types of oils that you can use. I use sesame oil, which is like one of the heaviest and the warmest because I'm cold all the time. And it's not the toasted sesame oil.
You get the whole thing with the Danko.
Yeah, so it's like the untoasted oil. Coconut oil is the coolest of the oils. So if you tend to be more on the hot side, that's a really good oil to use. You can also use almond oil. You want to make sure it's a high quality oil, no vegetable oil. You could use olive oil, no canola oil. And some people don't like the oil because their skin's already pretty oily. And so then you could also dry brush. So either using kind of like a loofah or a poof, or those little gloves that you get.
Gloves are so comforting. Actually, at Whole Grocer,
yeah.
I got them. That's why I bought my last couple pairs. They're get the big ones because they're much thicker than the little ones, and they last longer. But it feels so good on your body.
Yeah, and so for me, I am so dry that if I do that, I would do oil afterwards.
Me too. I do too.
And so you could do both of them. But if some people, their skin just tends to be, you know, oilier, and so they don't like the. Yeah, if you're here, probably not. But you know, some days people are like, I don't know if I want oil, but. Yeah, so that's like a really nice self-care thing to do for yourself. Or at the end of the day, you know, take a few minutes, massage your feet.
Take a bath and
massage your feet. Find some other sweet smelling things that you love, flowers, essential oils like orange or peppermint or something, you know, that you're able to bring in that sweetness into your day and your life. Without it being the sugar.
Chris, I have an idea. You have an office at Haagen-Dazs?
No.
You have a room, a something you can't go to?
Bathroom.
Bathroom. Okay. So what if you made the bathroom into a really cozy space as much as you could, and then had, I can recommend a diffuser, and you can put essential oils in the diffuser. And so whenever you feel like you're going to want to eat ice cream, you could go in that room. Because I think that this sense of smell, for me, helps me to control things. Hmm. And I have the same problem with you with ice cream. It is deadly. That's the biggest problem I have with ice cream. But my body stops me. So I'm really blessed. I'm grateful for a milk protein problem. But that just occurred to me that if I can fill up my senses and my sense of smell, you know, that helps.
I wrote down, get outside, and even when I'm at the store, instead of going for that
scoop
spoonful to just walk outside, even.
Just get yourself out of the environment. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
I mean, and I'm an emotional eater, and stress and anxiety, and
mm-hmm. Yes. We all are.
And yeah. There's just times where I'm like, ah! That.
I know, ice cream is so comforting.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I
yeah.
Some of it too. So, how you deal with, you know, like even today, I was out of CO2, and the idiots for 2 weeks have been asking for them to bring tanks for the soda machine. One of my refrigerators broke.
Oh, no.
Waffle cone maker is not working. I had somebody in looking at the refrigerator at the same time. They're trying to finish fixing the one of the sprinkler heads wasn't working, and so the landlord had, you know, there's just the annual check, and he's like, well, I gotta fix this.
They made it just a disaster, the store. They're, like, right in the middle of the customer space, and the customers are like, you open? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what else? And that's it. You know, at that point, I'm just like, and what I want to do is just go and, okay. You know, that 3 seconds it takes to eat it, really, what's it doing for me?
Mm-hmm. Does the visual get you with the ice cream, too? Like, do you look at it when it's, like, a new batch, too, in a pan?
No.
Really? That doesn't.
What gets me is when you can see those beautiful chunks of, like, the caramel cone.
So after it's already been, like, kind of dipped into it a few times, and you can see that.
Caramel or that strip from the dulce de leche.
Yeah.
But, and it's, you know, people are like, well, just don't stay away from the ice cream when you're not helping customers, which is hard to do because there's, like, you've got to maintain the ice cream and scrape down tubs so that it has a good presentation. And that's, like, one of my biggest things with my staff. If they don't do it, I can't. It's like, you know, the OCD in me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always constantly in there. And it's just, and I do it self-consciously half the time. I don't even realize.
Or unconsciously.
Mm-hmm. That I'm doing it either.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to solve anyone's problems tonight. I am trying to avoid that, but I'm going to just say one thing. What if you made a rule that nobody's allowed to taste the ice cream? Like, employees don't taste ice cream. You do not dig in there and put it in your mouth. It's just against the rules.
But that's the first thing I say to a new employee is they have to taste everything so they know what it tastes like to help.
No.
You have to. You have. It's part of good customer service.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have to know what it tastes like. So that you, since somebody's like, oh my God, I love chocolate, you know you're going to give them the Belgian chocolate. Mm-hmm. So it's just part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my what started my downfall, I think, after January, was somebody was like, this just doesn't taste right. And I'm like,
and
what do
so you,
mean? You
tried it.
And so I tried it, and I'm like, tastes perfect to me. I'm like, oh my God.
This is so good. I missed you.
Yeah, I was like, damn it. Like, it doesn't taste good. It tastes old. I mean, I have to taste it. It's my business.
Yeah.
But
tastes old. That's a weird thing to say about ice cream.
It's not. No. You
freezer burn.
You can definitely taste it when it's because like, there's tubs in the wintertime that sit there for a month.
Oh.
And so you can tell.
Okay.
And I can taste it.
That makes sense. I guess I probably could too. I can think about it.
Yeah.
So,
especially when you're in a like food business, it's like, you know, same thing. Like waiting tables, it's like
you know the quality you want to serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like a chef or something. Like you wanna try that and know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. So those moments where you feel yourself where it comes on in the stress, it's like. Trying to figure out maybe what you do instead. So that would be something to kind of think about this next month of like, you know, what is it like with, is it like, I don't know.
What is it? The craving passes in like 5 minutes if you can.
If you can,
then it can come back.
It can come. It definitely can come back. But like, how do you distract yourself during that time? Mm-hmm. Like, when you know
that
that's there,
customers being busy.
Being busy, but it's not always going to be busy.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know why lemon water is helpful in situations like that? Do you have any idea?
So, lemon water helps to just kind of like. Clear out some of, in Ayurveda, they call it like the ama, which is this gunk or toxic sludge of undigested food, emotions, feelings that are in the body that sort of coats the body. There's not really a word for it in like Western medicine. So they look at the body very differently because they don't have like microscopes and everything that they were like cutting people open when they like figured all this stuff out. But basically, like it helps to break that all up and helps move things through your digestive system more. It's some people don't like just the plain taste of water, so having like some lemon in there or a squeeze of orange or you know something else can be like kind of make it fun, like sparkling water, cucumbers, something that's exciting so it feels like a treat too. Like for me at home, just like pouring my whatever drink into a wine glass makes it so much more special.
Pieces of frozen fruit.
Right. Yeah. So that it's not just like, okay, here's your sparkling water. But then, you know, you're at a party where everybody's drinking beer in a can, sitting there and cracking open your thing of bubbly water and drinking it. Then you feel like you're joining in with everybody in that aspect of it. So it just depends on the situation for me, I think.
But it's really hard socially.
It definitely, definitely can.
I would like a little bit of clarification, and you've never said anything, but I was wondering, it just dawned on me when I talked about making the frozen bananas into ice cream.
Uh-huh.
So, but you're okay with me having smoothies, even though my smoothie consistency can be very similar to what she thinks of as a milkshake.
I actually call them protein shakes, but it is like a milkshake. I mean, but it's just not frozen and like, but it's a little, you know, I put mint and a little cocoa powder in it and a beet or a date, and I mean, it's filling.
So, yeah, that would be kind of more like a,
Because I've been treating all these years, all these sessions.
Well, like a smoothie. Because smoothies are like sort of like this gray area of like, well, what are you putting in there? Because there's so many different things that you can put in a smoothie. There's not like one recipe for a smoothie. Obviously, if you're like making a milkshake, it's like, yeah, you're making a milkshake. But the like when I think of a smoothie, I think there's some fruit in it, but it's more like greens or vegetables in there. And if you wanted to put in like some like flax or, you know, something else, avocado or some, you know, like coconut oil or whatever for like protein or something. But yeah, like the whole thing with Whole30 and on their website, even they're like, it's not perfect. I mean, you have to like make rules about things, and some of the things it's like, okay, this is not okay and this is okay. And a lot of it is also just like, okay, is this something like that's healthy, or are you just trying to make yourself a treat right now? I think that's what it kind of comes down to.
Did you send out everything and I totally missed it?
I haven't. Okay. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah. So when I go home, I'll like send you guys all the email. There's a bunch of things to kind of read on there in terms of like the points and everything, and just a few other things to remember real quick is there's a list on there of like what to expect every day. So that can be really helpful to just sort of be like, okay, this is what's going to kind of happen.
Like tomorrow's going to suck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like 3 days down the road because you're just going
to. Yeah. This first week is usually the hardest just because like especially if you're detoxing, I mean, because you've been doing this for a little while, it might not be quite as bad. I mean, I know you said when those eight days, and but 8 days out of like, you know, if somebody is like doing this for longer, like it can be a big thing, especially if they've been eating processed foods for a long time. You might still have some of that, but
I still ate corn tortillas every freaking day for the past 8 days.
Yeah.
You know?
But if you're dealing with like inflammation, autoimmune disease, joint pain, so definitely, you know, gluten, wheat, grains, quinoa, oats, spelt, all dairy, soy, processed packaged foods, sugars, alcohol, are out. Another thing to really consider is eggs and nightshades, because especially if you haven't tried that before, like maybe trying that this time and seeing how you feel not eating eggs and nightshades. Nightshades are tomatoes, bell peppers, hot peppers, eggplant, tomatillos, white potatoes, goji berries, pimentos.
Really?
Yeah. As well as ashwagandha, which is an Ayurvedic herb.
Oh, that stuff made me incredibly sick.
It's a nightshade. And then spices... would be like paprika, curry, chili powder, cayenne, tomato sauce, salsa, and then also not eating nuts and seeds, coffee, and cocoa.
Yeah.
So,
are you going to send us that list by any chance?
Yeah, I can send that list to you.
Why curry powder?
Because curry powder usually has like chili powder in there and some other like things.
So it's the peppers.
The peppers. So, because most of the time, you're not going to see the list of what's in curry powder.
The one I have is mostly turmeric. You can tell by looking at
But you can make your own curry powder. Okay. That's so, like, if you are following this, like, Google AIP Paleo, which is autoimmune protocol. And when you see AIP, and sometimes they'll say to make it AIP, omit this or something. But the autoimmune paleo protocol will leave out all of those items. Okay. This cookbook, the autoimmune paleo cookbook, is a really, really good one. That has, like, tons of ideas, especially because it's like, what? No eggs? What am I eating for breakfast? Like, it's all about, like, figuring out different things. And, like, you can eat any food for breakfast. Like, it doesn't have to be a breakfast food. So
eggs from a friend whose girls, that's their job,
is,
and all the money that they earn goes to pay for the feed and stuff, but then they get a certain percentage of for themselves, but everything else goes into checking account for school.
That's awesome.
And I love the fact that, you know, it's up to $6 for a dozen. And I'd so much rather give her $6 than the grocery store $4. And I feel like I'm, you know, the eggs are loved, all the chickens are named.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they're outside
happy
and
chickens.
Happy.
Yes, they're happy chickens.
Yeah.
Chickens you can trust.
Do you have any knowledge or information around how alcohol affects your hormones?
Yeah.
I have a lot of firsthand experience with that. It's just like, yeah, a lot of women, especially when they're going through like menopause and things, start getting hot flashes. For me, like, I become a completely different person, and it's not necessarily every single time, but like, I'll cross over that line, and like, all of a sudden I'm like, I do not like who I am at all. I wake up in the night.
The night sweats.
And
does the whole 30 or this address hormones and how they're affecting your weight gain or anything like that?
They don't directly affect, talk about it, but basically, like, yeah, I mean, pretty much, like, your hormonal balance is so delicate, and all of these things are, like, stimulants or depressants, they're definitely affecting this hormonal balance in your body. But yeah, I can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and I think it's relevant for all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's okay with everybody else.
Yeah, I can talk about that. And then I was going to say, and I got the list of things that are sugar-free from Sweet Cheeks, which is a local butcher in town, and they're making sugar-free bacon for us as well, which is so good. And so I'll post that. Are you on Facebook?
Yeah.
And do you guys know if Melanie's on Facebook? Okay, so we have a private Facebook group that nobody else can see, and I'll, like, kind of write some of that stuff on there, too. So that.
And so will you just invite me on that? Or how?
Yeah, okay. I'll invite you on that. Yep. Yeah. I know, this is like a lot.
I'm used to it. I feel like the last like 8 months of my life have been all about this every week. So it's nice to have like
to continuation.
And have people to do it with, because I've been doing it
on your own.
On my own with no support from my boyfriend. And so it's just been my thing. And it's been great, but it's still, you know, I haven't gone on a hike or a bike ride with anybody in forever.
So it's time to get out there and do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I do need to go.
All right. Yeah. We are done. I'm sorry that we went a little bit over.
You're going to bike and be somewhere. Where are you going?